you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. And now we'll talk softly. But welcome, welcome, welcome. Appreciate your attendance very, very much. We say it so often, but we do say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. Appreciate your desire to be with us today, not only to enjoy friendship and fellowship, but also involve ourselves in a time of congregational worship to our Heavenly Father. Yes. And always there is an outline of bulletin this morning. You're very welcome to follow along. If you'd like to do that, so sometimes ask my brethren to look around, because we have company with us today, to be sure if they would to share, if they would like to follow along. I don't want to be presumptuous and think that you will follow. So that's the lesson. The lesson comes from the scripture reading that was given to us this morning. Titled the lesson, The Wisdom of the Wise Men, or Wise Men Still Seek Him. Wise Men Still Seek Him. There's two questions that furnish the introduction for us this morning. I don't have these in your notes, but one question that always comes up is, how many wise men were there? How many? We can learn a lot of things from the text, but that's one thing we don't know, how many wise men there were. Some people always conclude that there's three wise men. That's based upon the gifts that were given, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. But you understand, and we understand, a couple could have gone together and bringing the gold, and several others may have contributed frankincense, and even another group given myrrh. So there could have been quite a company of wise men. Or, on the other end, two wise men could have given three gifts. We just know there was more than one. There came wise men. But it really doesn't matter about the number. It's ironical, we often try to be so wise in figuring out how many wise men. We lose or overlook the greater lesson that's being taught in the story. A second question is, in what way were they wise? What way were they wise? These men were considered wise even before they began their search for the Christ child. Evidently, they were the wise men of the day. They were no doubt held in high esteem for their learning. One translation refers to them as magi. They were the astrologers of the day. But as far as their wisdom is concerned, before we read this account in Matthew, we have to take someone else's word for them being wise. But in our lesson this morning and in the text that was read to us, we have some definite proof of their wisdom. Regardless of any wisdom they held prior to this event, we see their wisdom in searching for the Christ child. I've given you the characteristics of their wisdom in the notes this morning. The wisdom, or the marks of wisdom, are displayed in the wise men. Number one, they were interested in Jesus. Sometimes ask the question, you know, how, from a text like this, how wise are you? And how wise am I? If we can look at these wise men, we see some marks of wisdom, and we need to copy that or emulate that. Number one, we said they were interested in Jesus. That's a good starting place. That's a great starting place. They had heard about the Christ and they were interested. You know, some here today no doubt have heard about the Christ. Maybe that's one reason why you're in this assembly. But there's others that when they hear about the Christ, they want to respond in a different way, and they say, don't call me. You ever get a sales call on your home, on your phone at home, and the first thing you say as soon as you know it's a sales pitch, I'm not interested. And sometimes when people hear about the first thing they do when they hear about Jesus, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. But the mark of wisdom with these fellows, they were interested in Jesus. When someone is given information about Jesus, you ought to be interested. He's introduced in Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, she, meaning Mary, she will bring forth a son. You'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's interesting. Because no one else makes a claim like that. When you hear that message, why was Jesus born? Why did he come into the world? Oh, for our salvation from sin. Oh, I'm interested. I'm interested. A second mark of wisdom. They were ready to search for Jesus. In verse 2, they came and they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Where is he? For we've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." It's the purpose of their search. When they heard or when they saw the star, we're not only just interested, but we want to come. We want to find the Christ child. Now in verses 4 and 16, Herod is also searching for Jesus. But he's searching for the wrong reason. You see, news of Jesus troubled Herod, but it thrilled the wise men. Herod's interest in Jesus was one of worry, but the wise men were interested because they wanted to worship. Herod, when he heard about Jesus, was jealous, but the wise men were zealous. They began their search. It's a mark of wisdom. When they heard about Jesus, number two, they began their search. A third mark of wisdom is that they didn't let someone else do their searching. Didn't let someone else. In verses 7 and 8, Herod sent the wise men away with a request. In verse 8, "When you found him, bring me word again that I may worship him." Oh, he lied. He lied. He wasn't searching for Jesus so he could worship. Wanted to eliminate him. Yeah. He wanted someone else to do the searching, but the wise men weren't so foolish. And beloved, in your search for Jesus, don't blindly accept what someone else has told you. The mark of wisdom was that the wise men did their own searching. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, "Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good." And when I say to you, don't let someone else do your searching, that includes me. The Bible also says in Acts 17, verse 11, concerning the Bereans, they were more noble than those at Thessalonica. In that, what was the occasion for this praise of nobility? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now wait a minute, Bereans, these are the apostles that are preaching to you. And yet these are a group of people that said, wait a minute. We want to see for ourselves if the things that you're saying concerning this Jesus, this Messiah, are really so. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, to study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. So a mark of wisdom with the wise men was that they wouldn't let someone else do their searching. But that was the foolishness of Herod. Number four, they were not too proud to ask for guidance. They came to Jerusalem, and the first thing they say is, where? I'm putting your notes, wow, men asking for directions. So, gentlemen or men, that's a mark of wisdom to ask for directions. It's biblical. It's also good for your marriage. But the wisdom of the wise men did not allow pride to set in and say, you know what? If I act like I need help, or act like I don't know something, people around here might start thinking I'm not so wise. But no, the greater achievement of finding Jesus was on their mind. So they stopped to ask. It's a mark of wisdom, beloved. In your search for Jesus, you need to follow this plan or this formula. Yes, be interested, but that's not enough. Get ready to search. people, that it even says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, it's profitable. It's inspired, but it's profitable for doctrine, for instruction, correction, all of these things. And so we turn to the Bible to get that information. We study. And so we provide Bible classes. We had a class before we began our worship assembly this morning. We have Wednesday night Bible study. We have information available. If you're struggling with knowledge, or that information, or that instruction, it's here. But don't allow someone else to do your searching. And don't be too proud to ask for guidance. We have instructional materials available that you can even take home with you. Don't be too proud. Ask. Ask. Number five, they listen to the voice of God rather than the voice of a man. In verse 12. You see, and also verses 8 and 9. You see, Herod the king said, when you find him, come back and tell me. But in verse 12, God has warned the wise men in a dream to do something else. And they obey God. You see, God has given a message to the world of people. A salvation message. Unchanging. Written in a book. You know, in our day, someone that we regard maybe as high and noble, someone we esteem very greatly, may tell us something different than what the Bible says. But the mark of wisdom in these wise men was saying no to Herod. No, we ought to obey God rather than men. You may have to say no to someone that in your estimation is high and mighty or esteemed, scholarly. But remember, the mark of wisdom is to do your own searching and to prove the things that you're being told are so. Seek it out. Even though I was raised in the church, you know, I have generations that go back. And sometimes people will tell me, even to me, they say, Brian, oh, you only believe what you believe because your parents taught you that. I'll say, that's right. But I've had to look it up too. Because people will ask me, Brian, why do we have to be baptized for remission of sins? I'm not going to tell you because my parents told me that. I'm going to open the pages of the Bible. And I'll say, see, I've had to prove that even myself, that what my parents taught me, what some fine Bible class teachers, and just saying that Bible class teachers, I'm already getting a picture in my mind of those people that taught me when I was just that high. Even names that are coming to mind. But I don't believe what I believe merely because I hold them in high esteem. But because I've opened the pages of the Bible and proved to myself that what I was being taught is the Word of God. It's a mark of wisdom. Listen to the voice of God rather than the voice of man. Number six, they were willing to pay the price to find Jesus. It's interesting, Mom. I'm pretty sure, you know, when they started out, they didn't know the length of the journey. Or the expenses that might be involved. Perhaps they didn't even know the barriers they would face. I wonder if they knew how long they would be away from home. I wonder if they knew how much effort it was going to take to find the Jesus. But their wisdom was that finding Jesus would be worth it all. They were willing to seek and to search. If you're interested in Jesus, do you have that mark of wisdom? I'm willing to seek and I'm willing to search. They were willing to pay the price, whatever it was. I'm not sure they knew what it would cost for the journey. But they were willing. Because they considered finding the Christ child worth whatever the cost. Number seven, they found Jesus. Verse 9. Many people start out with good intentions. They go a long way in their search. They perhaps have spent some time in study. They've asked questions, attended the assembly. But when they find Jesus and the questions are answered, they stop their search and refuse to go any farther. No doubt they figure, you know, that's okay, I've task is accomplished. But no, look at the wise men. I can see their wisdom, not because others had told me that they were wise before we read this account. I can see it in their life. These are wise men. Apostle Paul asked in Galatians 5, verse 7, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You see, people sometimes get so close in their search. They're right there. They're on the edge. And they've made so much effort. They've come a long way. Like Agrippa said, the Apostle Paul in Acts 26, verse 28, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Yeah. Felix told Paul, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. So close. So close. You see, the wise men did not stop with Jesus in view. And so don't you stop. You may, on your journey, you say, oh, I've already heard about Jesus. I have the information. So I've taken a good step. Second, you may take a name, oh, even closer in my journey and my sacrifice. I believe. Well, I believe that Jesus is God's Son. I've taken the information to heart. Not only that, you may take another step in your journey. And, oh, I've turned my life around. You may even told others and made a confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. But then you stopped. You stopped. But the wise men didn't stop with just that. They continued. And that's what I want you to do. So we come to the next part, number 8. They showed their devotion by worshiping in verse 11. You see, some people in finding Jesus don't worship him afterwards. Oh, they've taken on that journey. I've taken step number one. Oh, I've heard. Taking step number two. I believe. Taking step number three. My life is changed with the information I receive. Number four, I've even told others about the Christ child. Oh, but you know, I wasn't baptized. Or even if I was baptized, they stopped. They're satisfied with the journey that they've taken. But the mark of wisdom with the wise men, when they found the Christ child, remember the purpose they came, that they had to start with? I want to find the Christ child so I can worship. So I can worship. Finding Jesus is not the end. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Said in John 8, verse 32, continue in my word. Then are you my disciples indeed. If you've stopped in your search for Jesus after being baptized, you're not very wise. You're not a wise man. These people continued. They worshipped. Not only that, but the last one, number 9, they proved their wisdom and their sincerity by giving to Jesus. They gave to Jesus the best they had. And they came prepared. They brought with them the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh. They knew that when they found Jesus, they already had their premeditated, they had their mind made up. I'm going to be a giving person to Jesus. They were prepared to give to Jesus more than just the expense of the journey. Look what I have with me, I brought with me. Even though I've already put out a lot, and we worship, we'll want to give Jesus what we have. Our time. Our talents. Our treasure. Our effort. It's a mark of wisdom. So in your search for the Christ child, in your search for Jesus this time of year, many people stop their search and they say, you know, I've given them this season. I've given them a month. I've thought about it, sang songs about it, enjoyed the festivities, engaged in the season of giving. Tomorrow, the 26th. See you next year. Oh, no, it's not a mark of wisdom. The wisdom of the wise men, they prove their sincerity by giving to Jesus and giving and giving. Wise men, the lesson is this morning, still seek Him. So we ask the question, how wise are you? How wise are you? I hope you haven't stopped your search. I hope you're not satisfied with even what you've already given. But if you're here this morning and not a member of the New Testament church, you're not a Christian, follow the wisdom of the wise men. Be ready and be interested in Jesus and be ready to make the effort. And when you find Him, obey. Lord, what would you have me do? You speak, I'm listening. You send, I'll go. You command, I'll obey. That's the attitude. That's the mark of wisdom. If you're subject to that invitation, you're going to be baptized for remission of sins. Yeah, I hope you haven't stopped short of that. And then you want to continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You'll want to continue. It's a mark of wisdom. So how wise are you? Let's stand together and say the song that Dennis is selected for.